Harmac Holmes pre-game interview.
Been able to touch base with Gareth Andrews for Harmac Holmes. Of course, great to have Gareth join us tonight. Former Vice President of the Cats, a long-time Cat and a Premiership player at the Tigers. Gareth, Tom King, Ben Casanelia, Mark Neild and also Pete Ryan from The Age with you from the MCG. But I think you're somewhere in the ground.
No, I've been sitting in the Fitzroy Gardens. Just call it telecommunications, Tom, because I've been sitting watching this unidentified. I knew who it was, but I couldn't ring back because it was making no sound. So anyway, we're here, and what have we got? 1 minute.
we've made contact, Gareth. Firstly, your reaction to the passing of Frank, who you knew so well and served so wonderfully well under for those 12 years that he was in the role as president.
It's a sad day and a sad week, and it was a sad day on Sunday. And we knew it was coming, I've got a story in tomorrow's Age of a more personal nature of rather than the Frank's cost of public story. And just one of the things I thought about today, it seemed unreal to think you'd never hear that voice of Frank's again, because he had quite a special voice, Frank, it was always positive, and it was always friendly, and it always talked good stuff about the footy club and about Geelong and about people. He just loved people, and particularly loved his family of 8 daughters and the extended family. He was just a remarkable man.
Brian Cook spoke earlier about the ticket that got up in 1998 and said if that ticket hadn't have got up and taken over the board of the footy club, it might not exist as we know it today. Do you remember how dire the situation was at that point in terms of finances and the quality of the stadium, but also then Frank's position on it and how he would tackle it as president of the football club?
I don't think we realised how dire it was until we saw the books for the first time. And that was the biggest shock. And a few of the blokes, including Frank, had been on the board at the time, beforehand, the previous board. But, you know, it was only when we really, we had to delist the CEO at the time, and it took a few months to get Brian on board. But we had, we really had the figures gone over, and we could just saw how big the debt was. And a lot of the debt still related to the old Hickey Stand, as the Southern Stand was called. And that wasn't... That really carried a debt of almost $10 million on its own, and it was starting to run out of the league.
Gareth, Peter Ryan here, my condolences. Can you just give us an insight into what it was like sitting around the boardroom table with Frank and how he'd chair meetings, and Colin Carter said he's a gently persistent character, or he was. Can you give us an insight?
Yeah, Frank was a... So we never, ever had a vote on the board in 12 years at... Frank was there because it was always, everyone, whatever. Look, we had debate and discussion, and through 2006, obviously in that last 6 months, or that last period of 2006, when the Brian Cook report was taking its, got out of its own legs and was much publicised, there was plenty of healthy discussion. But when it came to the time and when it came to the agreeing to the report, and the report did have Mark staying on as coach, and it wasn't just all about Mark. Actually, it was looking at the football department as a whole. And people never took that into account. So the discussion wasn't just about Mark Thompson. It was also about if he was going to stay, how could we make it better for him? And so that's when my old mate Neil Barr, my old teammate, came into play because he was ready then to leave Collingwood, and little was known about that fact. So it was just, but what Cookie said about the state we're in, it was pretty precarious, and they were different times because we had an ageing team and we couldn't win games, and we had a contract on long some players on longer contracts than they deserved if we wanted to change things up.
Just when you did actually achieve the premiership in 2007, do you recall any moments with Frank post that that just sort of set back and reflected on the journey? And you know, he obviously played the bells through Geelong that night. Can you give...
Oh, look, to be with Frank on that night was pretty joyous, and we went down to this little restaurant, as it was, over in Mallop Street, I think, or that might have even been the next day. The whole thing is almost a fog. we actually did go to Crown in the first instance, so I'm probably thinking about the Sunday night, but the celebrations at Crown were just fantastic, and it had been so long, and you know, to think that it had been 44 years, and I'd started playing at Geelong in 65, 2 years before they'd won the first, their previous flag, so for me it was literally a lifetime.
I was just thinking, you did bring premiership experience to the club when you switched over mid-season between the two clubs playing tonight. How were they different, and did you bring any of the Richmond with you to Geelong?
I think there was a bit of Richmond was really tough, and I think back in those days Geelong and Cookie's always described us as being pretty amateurish or you know, average, I think he was. And he always studied, I don't know what he's talked about, Good to Great book, which became his Bible. And so one of the things I could see there is that the Richmond side that I played with Graeme Richmond in control and Tommy Hafey as coach, was just desperate to win. And it wasn't good enough getting in the four or the five or the eight as it is today. You had to win the premiership, and that was the focus that everybody had. And I just think somewhere along the way we lost a bit of that. And when you look at the 70s and 80s, even through that period of time, we didn't have solid boards. We didn't have united boards. And the importance of a footy club is just you've got to have a leader in your president, and Frank was that leader. You have to have a really strong united board and no leaking. And we got that, and we hadn't had that before. And you had to have the right CEO. And there's no doubt about Mark Thompson being a terrific coach. Like, Mark is very different as a person, but he was always that as a player. But the young blokes loved him. They just loved him. And when we discovered that the players hadn't lost faith in him at the end of 86, we knew that he was ready to go.
Gareth, you changed clubs, as Pete Ryan alluded to, between round 7 and round 8. It's a situation now that younger listeners will go, how can you go from one club to another in a week? You walked off Cathinia Park, playing against North Melbourne in round 7, 74, and in round 8 you're lining up against North Melbourne for Richmond. It's an unbelievable situation that used to occur, but, yeah, unheard of. Now, talk us through that, and I suppose, yeah, did the North Melbourne boys give you a look and say, hang on, didn't we just see you last week?
Well, the bloke I played on, Arnold Griders, who was the state centre-half forward, he was the bloke I played on both weeks. Richmond gave me... I'd been trying to get to Richmond over the summer, and, you know, by the time the season started, it didn't happen. So I'd happily taken my place at Geelong as centre-half back at that time. And I got a call from Graeme Richmond on the Monday night and said, how would you like to play with the Tigers on Saturday? I didn't get a call from Geelong. I think they were too embarrassed to tell me that sold me or that. No, it was my choice in the end, and so I said, "Give me a day. I've got to speak to my people, my family, and all that sort of thing." And Graeme Richmond said to me, "You've got 2 hours." And as it turned out, that night he'd already given the story to Alf Brown of the Herald. And it was being published in the morning. So I had no option but to say, yeah, I'm in. And that's how it happened. And I just turned up with my bag and they gave me a new jumper and a new pair of shorts and all that sort of stuff. But I knew I was working in Richmond at the time, so it wasn't as if I was not known to the Richmond blokes pretty well.
Gareth, it's Ben Castagnoli. Thanks for joining us on K-Rock Footy. Old Alfie could sniff out a story, couldn't he? He was like a ferret down a hole. He knew what was going on in the world of footy. I've got a question for you. We don't often get the vice presidents on. So what's your key role? Because if I'm sort of looking at it golf speak-wise, the vice president, his main focus is to keep the president refreshed post the round. Was part of your role to make sure that there was sort of red wine on the table and everyone was sorted out?
Well, it wouldn't help Frank, because he wouldn't have had any of it. I mean, we were the, what were we? We were the Joe Biden, I suppose. You're probably more important to yourself than you are to anyone else. I think one of the things that Frank would say and did say often was that he didn't really know much about footy in the early days. Frank was a footy junkie, and he just loved the club, and he wanted to pick the team and all that sort of stuff. But in terms of his So I think he respected what Wayne and myself brought to the club. And the other thing where I really was able to back up Frank because of the time because of his being so busy, was the fact that I could represent him at times in Melbourne. So that was important too. And there was probably half a dozen of, he would have a mid-season break of about 6 weeks. So there was a genuine role you had to play for that 6 weeks every season. He took one of his daughters and their family away for about 6 weeks every winter. He's got eight daughters, so that's 8 years. The biggest thing about the roles in the club under the Frank board, and probably brought in more than anything by Brian Cook, was the fact that you couldn't speak out of school. Like, the board people were bored, and the only people who could speak were the president, the CEO, the football manager, who, of course, was Barmy during that period of time, and the coach. And that was it. The only problem we ever had on the board was we would tell Frank to shut up because he spoke out of school all the time. He couldn't resist a media phone call.
Pete Ryan did allude to that earlier, Gareth, he did like that. Absolutely.
Yeah, Pete was one of them.
Absolutely. Yeah, he didn't mind a phone call from K-Rock either. Gareth, we really appreciate your time tonight. Thank you for sticking by us to have a chat. It's always good to talk footy with you, and we're able to obviously get a chat with you away as a player with both clubs, but also a chance to play. We pay tribute to Frank as well. So thank you for that. Enjoy the game tonight. No doubt you're barracking for the Cats.
Thanks, guys. I'll be praying for the Cats. Don't worry about that. I threw something at the TV in September. So, look, I love my period with Richmond. I'm proud of having played with them and won a flag with them. But I'm just a Geelong boy at heart and love the Cats.
Absolutely. Gareth, great to talk with you. Really appreciate your time tonight.
Thanks, guys.
See Gareth you. Andrews joining us. The Harmac Holmes pre-game interview.